Kenneth Walker.
Debo Samuel.
Cooper Kupp.
David Njoku.
AJ Brown.
Puka Nacua.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Nice.
Isaiah Pacheco.
Oh, dang. I'm sorry, dude.
Joseph Mixon. Jordan Love.
Bryce Young.
What?
Bryce Young. Rest in peace.
Whole career.
Rest in peace. Bryce Young.
Yeehaw! Y'all boys ready for this? Howdy, folks. Let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Yeehaw! Word to your mother, and welcome in to another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It is the evening of September 19th, 2024, episode 81, ladies and gentlemen, and we are live in person in Tim's basement.
What's up, dude?
And I am your host with the mostest, Chris Mitchum, the proud owner of Team Fairlife, with the usual gang, Aaron Hunt, manager of Let Russ Microwave.
What is happening, lovely people?
And Tim Rader, the owner of Close But No Jamar.
Happy Friday Eve, week three of football.
Week three of football is actually upon us as we speak. We have the wonderful clash of Titans, the Patriots, and the Jets on in the background. We thought we maybe just saw the start of the Drake May era, but Jacoby Brissett looks okay.
He's tough.
He looks okay. He is a tough guy.
4th and 26.
Okay. Four minutes left in the third quarter. And yeah, so we may get sidetracked by that. You have to embrace us if we do that. Packed show, as always, for you today. You heard the taps. You heard the war of attrition the NFL has turned into after this week. So we are going to quickly dive into the biggest injuries that we think impacts each team.
Dude, I feel like we had a taps episode last year, but it wasn't until like week 6 or 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
After week 2, it always happens. After week 2 is rough.
It's tough. And then we have the week 2 review, some really, really big clashes in there. Then we have, of course, the always reliable, for the most part, this league. Guaranteed. Just don't pick spreads, ladies and gentlemen. Just don't pick spreads. They're not your friend. And then the week 3 preview. We will get into that. First things first. Drink of the week. Tim, what we got?
Yeah, nice toasted bourbon.
What kind of toasted bourbon? Who makes it?
Penelope.
Ooh, I've never heard of that. Must be delicious.
Fancy. It's fancy looking, so I got it.
I like it.
Scandalous.
I like it. Aaron, what we got over there?
H2O. I had some beer last night.
And you're off work tomorrow and just H2O?
Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
How early is that drive tomorrow?
I want a real good night's sleep.
So drink beer.
Yeah, knock you out.
Right. For real. I have a delectable, delicious, straight out of Tim's refrigerator, Oktoberfest Bavarian style from Fatheads Brewery.
Tis the season.
It is delicious.
What a name, Fatheads.
Hey, guys, I'm making a brewery. I'm just going to call it Fatheads.
Remember when Fatheads were really popular?
Dude,
they had all those commercials.
I would have covered my room in Fatheads as a kid if my parents would have let me.
Dude, I'm dating a high school chick. She walks into your room. She's like, wow, nice 8-foot thing of Marvin Harrison.
Is that Peyton Manning?
Wow. He's really large on your wall. Goodness gracious. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, as you heard it, we had to do taps. We had to pay our respect to those that we have lost so early in the season. Some for longer than others. We each picked one injury that we think will have the biggest impact on a particular person's roster. Who wants to get us kicked off?
I'll go ahead.
Get in there, Tim.
Go ahead.
I'll lead us go off. Mine's not, you know, nothing surprising. It's not like earth shattering to pick this one. But I think the biggest injury impact to roster through 2 weeks of the fantasy football season is, of course, one Christian McCaffrey.
It's got to be.
Has turned Anthony's defending title of, you know, trying to go back to back with the nut into like he's kind of chasing his tail a little bit. And the fact that he, like, obviously he didn't practice in the offseason, but then all of a sudden, like right before game one,
that's
like,
the toughest thing.
By the way,
it came out of nowhere.
Really hurt. And everyone's like, okay. But yeah, I mean, Anthony's team has just gone from like studs everywhere. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then like CMC liable to go off for 30, 40, 50 any given week to just like a few good studs. He's just on another, he's just down a level.
Yeah.
He's playing with the rest of us.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, one of our favorite quotes on the show, running back depth is stupid until it's not. And so without Christian McCaffrey, you still got Joe Mixon, Ramondre Stevenson, Rashad White. Like, that's a pretty good trio of guys there. But then Joe Mixon goes down. He might not play this week. So that means we have to pivot to Rashid Shaheed, Jerry Jeudy, Keenan Allen. He might not play. So, yes, you lose the elite upside of Christian McCaffrey. But, yeah, that running back depth. Everybody needs it. Everybody wants to have it. So that was devastating, almost because it was just came out of nowhere, to your point. Aaron, your biggest injury impact of the season so far?
Mine's going to be a part of a team with the owner in this room currently.
Uh-oh, time to chalk trash.
Not me.
It's going to be Isaiah Pacheco, running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Fractured fibula, not what you want to hear. Going to be out for a while. And the reason I picked him is just because when you go look at Tim's running backs, the name appeal just isn't super sexy anymore. Pacheco was just such a stalwart. I had him pegged as, honestly, a top 10, maybe even top 5 running back.
He was everything.
He was looking really good even before he got injured this past week. So that's just devastating. But Tim's in luck. He has some depth to cover it. So I don't think the slide will be as bad. But you go from Pacheco to Harris and that's just going to be a downgrade. So I know Tim's unhappy about it, but I don't think it's going to necessarily be too much of a detriment. I think he's still very much competing.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. It definitely hurts that RB1 spot, where now I'll be leaning very heavily on Jordan Mason to kind of carry the load there.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, but, you know, rest up, you know, stay out as long as you need. If I get you back, you know, give me 2 weeks before the fantasy football playoffs to like show me that you're back. But then we'll ride you later in the season.
There you go. At least it's not like soft tissue. That would be annoying.
Yeah. You never want injury, but that's better than a MCL, ACL combo or something like that.
For sure. My biggest injury impact, it is a Rams wide receiver, but I'm not here to be selfish because I am taking the one with the larger impact, injury impact, in my opinion, and that is Puka Nacua for Hayden. The reason why I choose that is we all know the story with Hayden. His running backs are sexy, baby. Derrick Henry, Jahmyr Gibbs, Etienne, Bijan, not a problem there. Like, you could argue four top 15 running backs right there. And his receivers, like, they were good, but they're nowhere near his running backs, right? You had Puka Nacua, Jalen Waddle, Tank Dell, and Deebo Samuel. The only thing about Jalen Waddle and Tank Dell is they haven't been great. I'm about to be the Kermit the Frog gif, unfortunately, if we want to go back to a couple episodes ago. But if there was one area of his team where he could not afford an injury, it was wide receiver. And unfortunately, he lost his best one right out of the gate. You could argue that made him lose week one. I mean, our game was close enough. You know, he went out in the first quarter. You know, that game could have been different. And then now you really have to rely on, you know, a Tank Dell who hasn't surpassed, I think, surpassed 8 fantasy points so far this year. And especially now that you have an injured Deebo as well, who was another elite piece that you could lean on. So it kind of goes back to Anthony's, right, where it's like you had decent running back depth, but now that you lost your best one and you have another one injured, it's starting to test you a little bit. Tank Dell is certainly not a horrible backup option. I do think he gets back on the back off the Schneid. He just gets off the Schneid.
Get off the Schneid.
Right. And he should last him long enough for when Puka comes back. But I think, you know, when it comes to really competing with the upper echelon of the league, it's going to be tough for Hayden to do it without Puka in that elite upside. So that was your little injury minute. Let's pray that week three is a little nicer to us than week two was, because we like seeing these elite athletes play football. So if the injury gods could stay away this week and the rest of the weeks, that would be great. If you remember from last week, we had a dynamic week two full of matchups, full of storylines that was going to chart the rest of the way for members of this league. Gentlemen, shall we get into it?
Let's go.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Week two is here. At least we had more touchdowns. Not a ton, but we had more touchdowns. The Colts, Aaron.
Colt, go Colts.
How we feeling, man?
It was pretty depressing. I was watching every minute just like, why with Malik Willis are the Packers looking so much better than us?
Yeah.
For almost like 3.5 quarters, especially. Like, the Colts offense got something going at the end, but our defense was hanging in there. But
this is what our team could look like without the pop plays, right? Like, this is what everybody's scared of. Like, this is what Anthony Richardson looked like in the Packers game. That's what he looked like for 85% of his passes in week one. He just had the two or three that was like, Jesus Christ. And the Packers limited those and they didn't happen. And I think this is kind of the rock bottom of what you could get from the Colts of, you're not going to get a lot of consistent first downs, long drives. You need the big plays. And when people take it away, this is what happens. I don't feel great, but we may feel better than the Bengals.
I don't know what you're talking about. Week one starts this week for the Bengals.
Okay.
We just got out of preseason week five and preseason week six. This is our week one. Season starts now.
If we go to 0-3 and lose to the Bears, it's going to be panic meter at like a 9 for me.
Yeah, I'm at like a 7 for the Colts.
Yeah, as a, you know, local indie guy, I follow the Colts. They're my, I would say, like, I like rooting for them when they're not playing the Bengals.
This guy's crying on TV, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Morgan Moses.
Who? Why? What?
Oh, that's an ankle.
Morgan Moses?
The guy that got destroyed.
Oh! Ankle knee combo. And that man weighs a good solid at least 360 pounds.
Yeah, that probably hurt. 5 seconds left in the third quarter.
Oh, Fashanu, let's go.
What we're talking about. How is he not starting?
He's so good, dude. What was I saying?
Panic meter on the Bengals.
Oh, Bengals, I'm at like a 2-3. I still think that we've proven that this is just that September is not our month. First 2 weeks aren't our month.
It's not our thing.
If we lose to the Commanders, I am very quickly going to jump to like a 9-10 and maybe call the season over.
Ooh.
But, I mean, again, the schedule's soft up front. So we have a really good shot, I think, of like landing at like 4-2, 5-3 and being right in the thick of it.
I feel that. Before we get into the review, there is a certain topic that's been causing a lot of stir that I want to get your guys' opinion on. The Panthers bench Bryce Young, your number one overall pick, after 2 weeks. I don't know if you guys have heard the Mel Kiper rant, but it was pretty good. He's trashing the Panthers organization. Aaron, was benching your number one overall pick, who's already on zero confidence, the right move?
I think so.
I disagree.
I think so. I think there comes a time, and, you know, maybe this is just me kind of seeing it in real life when I played high school football and, like,
nice
people who have... And it's definitely not the NFL level, don't get me wrong. Like, 100%.
We're not almost 30 years old.
Not comparable really at all to the pressure they feel, but I've seen players just lose confidence, and it really is just like a defeating thing to keep throwing them out to the wolves. At a certain point, you're not helping yourself to get better, And I think he's going to really be able to maybe take some time, learn under Andy Dalton. And I think he's probably going to get traded is my thing. I think he's done in Carolina. I think Dave Tepper probably had a piece of, you know, saying, hey, we're going to bench him. Maybe not the whole thing. And Canales was like, yeah, I kind of agree. I think he gets a fresh start somewhere else, and I think he will turn out to be okay in the NFL. I don't think he'll ever be what we thought he could, but I think it was the right move. It wasn't getting any better, and dude, I watched some slices of the clips from the Chargers game.
He looked bad.
I'll be honest. I'll be shocked if he starts another NFL game.
It was...
ever.
What? I don't think that's
unless it's like a backup kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll be shocked unless it's like an injury or something like that. Like,
I mean,
he's not getting another starting gig.
He had ample protection against the Chargers, and he just
looked
awful.
Yeah, I think he looked awful. I think there is some blame to share. I'm big on the preseason, you know, as a Bengals fan, right? Like, preseason extends into week one and two because your starters aren't getting starting reps. They're not playing against live football. And as much as you want to practice and do walkthroughs and things, you can't replicate that. And Bryce Young, a young quarterback, just got a second coach in his second year, second offensive coordinator, doesn't play preseason ball.
Yeah.
You're not even, like, that's not a fair shot. But he just looks so bad that, like, I don't know that he deserves a fair shot.
And that's my point. Like, I'm big on investments. It's kind of like this league, right? Like, yeah, you can play the guy that might win you four or five games. If you like Andy Dalton's not going to get them to the playoffs. Like, he doesn't have enough talent around him. He might win. I mean, they're already 0-2. He might win
three
five
or four
games. Yeah. So my point is like, you people are going to get fired anyway. I'm hearing all this. Oh, people are playing for their jobs, and you know, blah blah blah. And that's true. Whether you're 5-14 or however many games we have now, 5-13, or 0-17, like, people are going to get fired. So I'm like, let's see what he has. If he sucks for this whole year, then there will be no doubt. I still think there's that little minority out there that are like, he has a really bad situation. He had very little weapons. It's only 2 weeks in. He didn't play in the preseason. And you're just going to bench him and crush his confidence potentially for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you can draw comparisons, in my opinion, to Anthony Richardson, right? As Colts, you know, fans here locally, he's basically essentially in his rookie year, right? You got to let him play this whole year, no matter how. If it looks bad for a couple weeks, you can't bench him,
right?
You got to let him play through it and fight through it.
Even if we start like 0-6 and we bench AR, I'll be pissed.
Yeah, you got to let your young quarterback play through. Right. If he's coming in and starting week one as a rookie, you can't bench him.
Peyton Manning broke the record for interceptions in his rookie year. Don't forget that. He broke the record for the amount of interceptions in a single year.
Or you go Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and sit the guy for a year plus. You can't have him start and then be like, actually, and then, oh, maybe we'll go back. No, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. But don't you guys think there comes a point where you lose a locker room? Because you got a bunch of NFL players on a roster. They're playing year to year. They're not guaranteed anything past this year. And if you're consistently putting them in a situation where they're not set up for success because the quarterback is literally awful.
I mean, unless you're talking about like win-loss incentives, like, you know, hey, I get a bonus if I win one.
No, not even
or something.
No, not even that.
Again, it goes back to the 0-16 versus 5-11. Like, people are going to get fired anyway.
I think that you're, you know, Adam Thielen, right? He's not getting any younger. He's not getting another long-term contract. So he's trying to, like, in his mind, he's playing for a Super Bowl this year.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, at the same time, like, if I'm the GM coach, like, I'm playing for my career to try to keep it as long as possible.
Right.
And the best way to do that is, like you say, either suck or your team's going to be good. Like,
yeah. I've just heard a lot of opinions about that, and I want to get your guys's. So this is not the Bryce Young podcast, however. This is the This League Fantasy Football podcast, and we are going to dive into the week two review, and we have a banger to start us off going into week two. We have Clayton and the Red Rocket versus Don and Njigba's in Paris, both squads coming into this one at 0-1.
And for Don, the Houston defense and Tony Pollard showed up.
Okay.
They came to play.
Could be worse.
Everybody else really didn't. Purdy, he had 14 points. doesn't kill you, I guess, but come on, you expected more against the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings were not an opponent that you're looking at in fear. You think you can take advantage of that spot, and Purdy just didn't. Worthy came down to earth this week. He had that huge performance in week one against the Ravens, and that limited volume, that efficiency didn't repeat in week two. I think that's just going to make him a volatile play. I think we all knew that going in, but he got the downside of the volatility this week.
The week one will live with Don forever.
He was very hype. It was fun.
I'm so happy that he had a bad game because Cam Taylor Britt talking all that smack.
Oh, yeah. And dude, they got that freaking Odell interception.
Yeah.
That's how you back it up, Jair Alexander. I know.
Yeah, forget that Rice beat him for a touchdown earlier in the game.
Oh, yeah. We won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Keep on here with Don's team. Tight end. Urgent need.
That's everybody, though.
No. But Don
drafted Brock Bowers.
He could have. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Could have.
But hopefully he can address that soon through a trade or something, man. I don't know if you're going to find it on waivers, but that position looks like you might as well just not start anybody some weeks. Ayuk, I think, needs to get going. He has a potential to because injuries are mounting in San Francisco. There was a report today that Kittle was banged up. I don't know if he even did he practice.
Did not practice today.
Yeah, didn't practice today, which it's Thursday. I mean, that's a bit telling that maybe he's going to be questionable going into the Sunday game. So if Ayuk's just sitting there with Juwan Jennings, I mean, you got to think Ayuk is probably
out with my buddy Juwan.
Probably going to get a lot of the volume there. For Clayton, you have to be encouraged, I think, by this performance, guys. I mean, eclipsing 120 points for Clayton.
Let's go.
That's not been a given for the last few years, I would say.
Guys, can we take a moment and just clap for Clayton real quick? I think Clayton has officially moved out of like the bye week status.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to show up to play Clayton.
You got to show up to play Clayton.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and it starts, in my mind, with Nico Collins and Trey McBride. Those guys are dogs early in the season, especially Nico Collins on Sunday Night Football. He was tearing up that Bears secondary.
Oh, he's so good.
He was real good, and he was getting a lion's share of the targets, which we can touch on the Texans a bit later. And then Brock Bowers sitting on the bench.
Oh.
That had to hurt a little bit. Does that change heading into week three? We'll see.
Clayton is about to be double decker tight end stacker central.
Go forward.
Fellas, Drake London, he came to life a little bit. Got past the 10-point mark, you know, got a little bit going. Is it fool's gold? I'm not totally sold. I think, you know, time will tell on that one. And honestly, guys, like, I'm just looking at Clayton's lineup up and down. If it weren't for the RB situation where it just he's throwing out crumbs,
mm-hmm.
Clayton could be flirting with a wild card mix. Like, I'm not.
He's got the names, man.
I don't think it's egregious to say that, but the RBs are just going to likely continue to hold him back from getting those 130, 140, 150 point games that you have to accumulate if you're going to make some noise in the playoffs. But nonetheless, well-deserved victory for him. Final score, Clayton, 123, Don, 89.
Do you guys have an eyeball of the week officially? Is that in any of your notes?
I do not.
Because I have one. Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Good call.
On Don's bench. I know it's all doom and gloom for Don right now. But this man got 16 targets. Holy crap. What happened? 16 targets is crazy. You guys know I'm an Ohio State fan. I've been a big fan of his talent. I like JSN more than, I mean, I'll say it. I like JSN more than Garrett Wilson. I liked him more than Chris Olave as an Ohio State fan. And hopefully this is the breakout game. I'm not calling it the official breakout game, but I think JSN is very talented. He gets our eyeballs of the week.
Yeah, they look good against a good defense too. So that's good call out.
It looks like Don does have him in the lineup now.
Here we go, as he should. Because, I mean, how are you just going to bench, you know, Xavier Worthy, you know? I don't know. So, Clayton moves to 1-1, matches his win total from last year. Come on, man.
Thanks, huh?
That's right. And Don falls to 0-2.
He only had one win last year?
He only had one win last year. Yeah.
Not the same team as last year. Whoa. Not the same team
no,
at all.
Not, no, yeah. Big improvement. For sure. For sure. Brock Bowers alone is.
Go Clayton.
Whew. All right. We are going to move on to our next match up, and it was the game I labeled the stranglehold of the Qdoba division. And for me, this was the most satisfying game of the week because an average person, a five-year-old, Matthew Berry, whoever, looks at this matchup, looks at the lineups, and says, yes, Tim has the better team. But we wouldn't tell a Matthew Berry or a five-year-old or an average person that Tim is going up against the stretch voodoo. Nobody knows that except people in our league and listeners of this wonderful podcast. So going into this one, I picked Stretch to win because he's due, right? This is the perfect matchup that Stretch would just come out and win, move to 2-0, be on top of the Qdoba division, and it's just so Stretch. But thankfully, by the gods, he did not. He did not. Tim comes out on this one 132-110 for Stretch. I mean, he had some guys that usually aren't as reliable as others, but they performed. Devontae Smith without A.J. Brown giving you 20 points. Devontae Adams with 26 points. James Conner with 18 points. All did their things. But the all-reliables that Stretch typically relies on, Mike Evans, only 7 points. I was way off the mark when I thought I said Mike Evans had like a 3-touchdown game coming in.
Yeah, wide receiver too.
The vibes felt like that. But yeah, 7 points, 3 catches is not going to be able to get it done. Garrett Wilson disappointed. And then also, I was shocked to see Josh Jacobs only had 12 points. If you watch that Colts game, I'm like, this man has 40 carries for 220 yards and 5 touchdowns.
I think he got 32 totes.
32 carries. Oh, I was close. Yeah. 151 yards, but no touchdowns and a fumble, unfortunately. So he had a pretty mediocre game. Also for Stretch, Dallas Goedert continues to be disappointing, but like I said, that's kind of all tight ends right now. And I think it's safe to say that we may be starting Kyler moving forward. Anthony Richardson, unfortunately.
Colt, go Colts.
The bad Anthony Richardson came out with only 9 points, with Kyler sitting on his bench with 34 points. Yes, that means if he would have started Kyler over Anthony Richardson, he gets the dub this week. So Tim takes a sigh of relief because for Tim, really, it's kind of the same thing as we were last week. Solid performances, really all over the place. I do think we need to give Jalen Hurts his flowers. There's been a lot of negative press coming out of Philadelphia. Bad play calling, boring offense, blah, blah, blah. Jalen Hurts is still sitting over here as the quarterback 3.
It's those legs for me, man. Watching him run this week, 13 carries. He didn't do that, you know, the second half of last year with that knee injury. So seeing him run like that was nice.
That's true. Rest in peace, Isaiah Pacheco. It's good that he got you 19 totes and 5 catches for 16 points before he went down. We have a Najee Harris sighting. We need a Najee drop for sure. Because he's just the ultimate break glass. Yeah, he'll do. And he got you 17 totes, 1 catch, 8 points. Very Najee.
Yep, that's why I got him.
And then, of course, you have, we really need a drop for this one, Primetime, Chris Godwin. Do you know what ranking Chris Godwin is in fantasy football among wide receivers right now?
Isn't he wide receiver 1?
Numero uno.
Ding, son. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Aaron, good
call.
Shout
out Aaron.
Good call with the
comeback.
Yeah.
See if that keeps coming back.
Comeback player of the year, man. I'm telling you, the slot.
I wasn't tuned in to start the games. The first time I checked the matchup between me and Stretch, I logged on to Sleeper, and I was projected 188 points.
Woo.
And Chris Godwin was projected 58.
Oh, my God.
I think all of his points came in, like, the first quarter, but still, I logged in, I saw that, I was like, oh, dang.
Just boogieing. So 132 points for Tim is a good amount, and that's without the Sam Laportas and the Jamar Chases doing what they typically do. But 132 points is enough to beat Stretch as he gets 110 points. So Tim will move on to 2-0. Like I said, he takes that stranglehold of the Qdoba division Overstretch, who is the likely going to finish second in the Qdoba division as he falls to 1-1. Our next matchup going forward, we have Aaron and Let Russ Microwave coming into 1-0, taking on your boy Team Fairlife, also at 1-0. Tim, I'll let you talk about it. Let you talk about it. Go nice and slow.
Talk about Fatheads. Uh-huh. The group chat. Yeah, the group chat was going wild with Fatheads of Chris's face getting plastered left and right on Thursday night football.
It was really sad, dude.
It was amazing.
James Cook, 3 touchdowns. Devon Achane, no slouch, a touchdown of his own. Josh Allen obviously gets the throwing touchdown to James Cook.
Just that was the first one I was like, oh, it's going to be that kind
Thursday of night. Fireworks. And for Aaron's Thursday night player, not fireworks.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, 6 points.
Not even his fault, dude.
RIP Tua.
Yeah, see you, dude.
I mean, he says he's coming back to play again, but oh my gosh, I don't know that like the general public can stomach that.
Yeah.
Like just watching, I don't know. I don't know if I could watch Tua drop back and take another pass. But yeah, oh my gosh, Thursday, and then we have like the most surprising thing of the week, Alvin Kamara. Ooh. In the flex spot, flex 2, gets 44 points.
Yeah,
shades of Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
I think it was Christmas Day.
A couple years ago, you had like 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a freak stretch.
You all heard me talk about how much I liked the Dallas spread last week, and boy, was I wrong. Apparently, Alvin Kamara is very, very good, and the Dallas defense sucks. Not all total doom and gloom for Aaron. Saquon, had 18 points. That's pretty good. Almost seems like a floor. He's getting lots of volume in Philly. J.K. Dobbins.
Oh, yeah, baby.
We talked about him getting nuked into the starting lineup. He's there to stay.
Yeah, as long gotta as
he, yeah, he's there to stay. 18 touches with the ball turns into 130 yards and a touchdown. Like, you'll take that. Yes, it was against Carolina, but that's back-to-back weeks. He's gotten long rushes. That's really good to see. We're hoping the guy stays healthy and plays a full season. Nice to see Mark Andrews, get back out there and was the clear snap leader over Isaiah Likely. And Amon-Ra coming in with 18 targets of his own. That's the Amon-Ra that you like to see out there. 18 targets only turned into 23 points.
For a second, I think it was like the first half. I love how Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown were right next to each other in like the score sheet on Sleeper. Because I think in the first half, Jameson Williams had like 9 targets and Amon-Ra had like 5. And I was about to be like, it's over, Aaron. Amon-Ra's time is over.
Wide receiver 2.
That's right.
And then he got 18.
Yeah.
And then he got the rest of them.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, so, not doom and gloom for Aaron. Chris wins this one handily, though. 163, number one score on the week, back-to-back weeks to start the year.
Pew.
Aaron, 117, respectable number in a loss. Only a couple questions going forward for me. Tua Tyreek, what does the Skylar Thompson Tyreek connection look like? One of those guys, you get the ball in his hands, he's going to score points. It's just, can he do it? And then for Chris, of course, you heard it in the intro, losing Cooper Kupp, the tears streaming down the face. Mm-hmm. As quickly as he appeared to be the wide receiver one and like a league winner, I think I declared last week, he's gone. Chris 2-0, hot streak. Aaron 1-1.
Chris goes marching.
And I go home. You know what, guys? From the minute that all those touchdowns were going from the Thursday night game, I was like, this is over. It's on to week 3. I think Chris is going to probably win most of his matchups this year. So get past the best team in the league, regroup, play pick on somebody your own size.
Oh man, that reminded me how good of a feeling a good Thursday night performance gives you. Just mm-hmm. it gets
Peter Piper
puts a pep in your step for to 2 days before Sunday. That's what I was going for. A little beatbox there.
You got
you,
there.
For free. Okay, let's move on to the next matchup. It was Steven and Mount Passmore coming into this one at 0-1, taking on Zach and Breece Lightning, also coming into this one at 0-1.
For Zach, fellas, MHJ officially
he's alive.
Has a pulse.
He's not slow.
Has his coming out party in a big way. 29 points in a blowout game against the Rams, and he got those 29 points pretty early as well, yeah, if you can recall.
I thought he was it in not, for a 50-piece.
Was it just the first quarter?
First quarter. It was first quarter.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, had a 60-yarder, and then I forget the other yardage total for the touchdown, but he was looking mighty impressive on only four catches. That guy is good at football. Breece Hall, looking like an absolute stud. He's playing week three, Thursday night football tonight. Just a solid floor of 15 to 20 points every week. He just catching everything thrown at him. I don't know if you guys saw the catch that he had against the linebacker with the Titans. In the background on that was apparently Rodgers was talking to Breece and was like, hey, if I get a linebacker, I'm going to do a go route. And he saw it and threw him the go route.
There's only a small amount of running backs in the league that can just leap over people in the end zone like a wide receiver. Like Saquon had that one last week. Breece Hall had it this week. Those are special guys.
Yep. So got to love watching Breece Hall just as a football fan. And I know Zach enjoys him being on his team. Rashee Rice, what a value for him. Favorite target in Kansas City for Mahomes. Looks like another guy that has a really safe floor of like 15 points, give or take a week. CJ Stroud, Brian Robinson, also solid. I think you'll take both of those performances. And Stroud, like for real life football, had a really good game. Didn't translate too much to fantasy, but I don't think you're worried at all about him. The thing that's going to hold Zach back, this is similar to Clayton, where like you got some really good pieces, the flex spots are ugly. Hard to know who's going to be a fixture there. And despite that, he put up a top 3 point total for the week, which is just really impressive.
Kind of scary. Yeah, impressive and scary. Yeah.
I mean, you're struggling and grasping at straws to figure out who to put in those two slots, but you're still putting up those points.
You didn't even mention Hunter Henry.
Yeah. Hunter Henry, shouts out.
Elite. How's he doing tonight?
Don't expect that to keep happening. As you can see, I think he's got
2 points.
2 points this game. So.
Two catches for 9 yards.
Tonight. That's the Hunter Henry experience. Woohoo! He's going to go off twice a season for like 30-plus points. And then for Steven, very disappointing performances at quarterback and running back. Matthew Stafford, his entire team is now dead. So that's just unfortunate on that end. He did not have a great game as a result. Complete blowout. Chase Brown, struggling. He's clearly, I think, the RB2 in Cincinnati. JT, solid line, but I think he needed some touchdowns and PPR volume to really make a difference in this one. DJ Metcalf, one of the bright spots, came back in a big way.
I love DJ.
DJ Metcalf,
or
man.
DK.
What a dog.
Sorry. Sorry, didn't even catch it. I said DJ.
Chris and I went, huh?
Yeah. Those initials, man. DK Metcalf, 28 points, and George Kittle with 20, but now Kittle's hurt, so that's just another guy that Steven doesn't have the depth to replace if he can't play. Flex spots, guys, it's just awful for him. Don't know what else to say there. It's just tough sledding on the flex. T. Higgins, I think, desperately needs to come back for Steven to have any semblance of production in his flex. Zach, I think, should continue to see some improvements as the year progresses and flirt with the playoff hunt. But can't say the same for Steven's squad. I think he's definitely planning for next year and beyond.
For sure.
Final score, Zach 137, Steven 100.
It's tough when I'm like, man, Steven really needs A.J. Dillon to come back.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, he's on season-long IR, so...
Not great.
I mean, no, I literally was like, okay, surely you have somebody better on your bench than Chase Brown with 3 points, and I'm like...
If it were a super flex, maybe.
Yeah. Keep up the good fight, Steven. You're doing great.
No, I think I said last week, like, this is a game for Zach to prove that he's in that, like, not basement. And he did what he was supposed to do, like I said, with two people giving him nothing. I just want to take a quick victory lap on Keon Coleman. That man is trash.
Oh, no.
He's not good at receiving.
I think it's too early to say.
He's not good.
Big trash.
You see him in the huddle trying to like, hey, Josh, I'm right here. And Josh Allen just ignores him.
Bloop. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Zach moves to 1-1, trying to stay competitive, trying to stay alive in that Qdoba division, while Steven will fall to 0-2, sitting, I was about to say, rock bottom at the Qdoba division, but you got Dawn in there, so good for you, Steven. All right, well, one game left to review, and y'all know what that means. Your game of the week was between Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan taking on Anthony and Team Uninspired Youth, a battle, a clash in the Chipotle division. Now, is this the grossest game of the week we've ever had? Maybe. But you had two dynamite squads clashing, one needing a W to not fall into a disastrous 0-2 start, and one trying to piece together W's while his star is down. Hayden came into this game staring 0-2 in the face, but don't worry, because the old man, King Derrick Henry, with 16 points, and his sexy young duo of running backs, Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, show out with 17 and 16 points, respectfully. Debo gets 18 points before he died on the field, but it wasn't all gold and glory for Tua Infinity and Bijan. Patrick Mahomes looked average, Waddle doesn't have a quarterback, and Tank Dell is looking more like go-kart Dell, unfortunately, in these days, putting up 2 points for Hayden's squad. For Anthony, could he counter a lackluster performance from Hayden? Well, he countered Debo with a 98-yard touchdown from Jay Jettas. That boy can zoom.
Yes, he can.
Good Lord. Don't look now, but Zay Flowers sneakily a top 15 wide receiver with another solid performance. And
Ramondre
Stevenson getting 21 carries and carrying that Patriots offense to 16 points. But for Anthony, unfortunately, he ultimately had too much dead weight to pull. Joe Mixon with 8 points. Rashad White with 3 points. Amari Cooper with 4, brother. This is your champion? This is your championship squad right here? I'm sorry, but that is not the performance of a championship winning side. And guys, I'm not even going to mention Travis Kelce, bro. I ain't going to mention him. Tight end number 28. They save him for the late season. No, 89% of snaps, 91% of snaps. He's out there, dog. He's out there, and he's not playing well. So, Hayden literally sneaks by in this one. 115-102. Talk about a lucky performance for him, running into a injured and battered Team Uninspired Youth side. Hayden can go happy with a win, go home happy with a win, but neither team should be thrilled with their performance. Final score, Hayden 115, Anthony 102. And Anthony, start Rashid Shaheed, dog. Just start him. He's down on your bench being like, what else I got to do? What else I got to do? Any thoughts on this matchup before we move on, guys?
I'm a little worried if I'm Anthony. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little worried. Travis Kelce, that's not maybe as necessarily of a stalwart as he once was. I think Father Time catches up to everybody, and I don't know what's going on in KC, but it's not looking great for Kelce.
I mean, that was his formula, right? It's McCaffrey and Kelce and the occasional Amari Cooper blow-up.
Rashad White, he's not a good running back, man. He's really not. He volumed his way to being a top 10 RB last year. So it just seems like Anthony, the wheels are falling off a little bit.
I know.
He's been so good for so many years.
He has been. Anthony has been that one team that's like consistently great. Consistently great. We've all kind of had our ups and downs, but Anthony has always been up there. So Hayden secures a much needed 1-1. It would be tough starting 0-2 in the Chipotle division and losing to me and Anthony. Like, that would be tough. And Anthony falls to 1-1. Hayden's 1-1. Aaron's 1-1. You know, they're all fighting on that one. So certainly not the end of the world. Enough time for your team to come back and get healthy. And that was your week 2 review, folks. A lot of big games, a lot of games that could determine the future of divisions, futures of teams. Future predicting on the This League Guarantee last week. We'll get into that.
The This League Guarantee.
Oh, yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to you live with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the Patriots-Jets, and it's Drake May season, and his first throw is almost
picked.
Looks a lot like Mac Jones right there.
Wow. All right. What a day to be alive. We get to watch Drake May play football. Stretch is paying attention with Drake May on his bench. And good thing that's something that's fun that's happening, because our guarantee last week was anything but fun. Don't pick spreads, kids. Do not pick spreads to pay the rent. We will quickly revisit it to drown in our own sorrows. I had the Niners -6 against the Vikings. They lost. The Cowboys -6.5 against the Saints. They lost.
They got wrecked.
And the Houston Texans -7 at home versus the Bears. They didn't lose, but I think they won by like 4.
They won by 6.
Won by 6. You're gonna fart too, Aaron. You suck, dude.
Dude, I was on it, though. It was close.
Hey, an L's an L.
But hey, we are recording on Thursday this week, which means we get our wonderful, delicious player prop. Oh God. Drake May.
Oh, no.
Jets, be nice. We get our wonderful, delicious player props back this week, and we are all doing that. Tim, I'm going to start with you because yours might take a little bit to digest. Tell us why you're so confident.
Hey, I've got the most exciting player prop this week, highest odds, and we are going to ride Rome Odunze as an anytime touchdown scorer, +360. We are 2 games into Rome and Caleb Williams' career, and we got squeaky wheel alerts. Rome Odunze's dad be up on Twitter.
No, he's not pulling a Odell.
Posting videos about, man, Rome is wide open in the end zone all day long. Caleb can't see him. And I'm just saying, if we're gonna have it happen, I think Rome this week is a good play for a touchdown. Colts secondary is not their like weakest part of their defense, but it's not strong
somehow.
And I do think that the Bears have a decent chance of getting in here with a victory. No Keenan Allen, no practice Wednesday, no practice Thursday. Heel injury that kept him out at the end of last season is now kept him out 2 games to Yikes. Start this season. So Rome has quickly become wide receiver 2 there, and I'm picking this week to see Caleb Williams take a step forward and establish a connection with his fellow rookie.
The Colts defense would be the team to do it against. So I don't hate that shout. I don't hate it. That is +360, by far the biggest, best odds of our parlay this week. I'll jump in here. And I know we just trashed Bryce Young. We just trashed the entire Panthers organization. But that's where I'm going. And I'm going with the old man. The old man, Adam Thielen, over 44.5 yards versus the Raiders. That's what we're rolling with. Not only is Andy Dalton the quarterback who can actually throw the ball downfield with some confidence, but in Dalton's only start last year for the Panthers in week 3, Adam Thielen had 14 targets with 11 catches, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Adam, you can literally have 100 less yards than your only less start with Dalton last year and still hit this line, dude. You can do it. I believe in you. Adam Thielen played 97% of the snaps last week, so he might be old, but he's still out there every single week. I think Andy Dalton knows Adam Thielen better than he knows Deontay Johnson, better than he knows Xavier Leggett, better than he knows Jonathan Mingo. And I think 44.5 yards is certainly in the cards. Book it, Thielen, over 44.5 against the Raiders.
Done. Easy.
Aaron, over to you.
I like that one a lot, Chris.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, and really nice stat, by the way. Going into the archives.
I like the week 3 parallel, too.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Week 3 now, man.
Yeah, I like that.
Ah-ha-ha!
Yeah.
Mine, I'm going to go with George Pickens.
Ooh.
60-plus receiving yards against the L.A. Chargers. And I don't think I need a lot of analysis to tell you that there's not a lot of pass-catching options that have the talent of George Pickens on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Are you talking about who's even their wide receiver 2 right now? I was about to say Ray McLeod, but he's in Atlanta.
I mean, you got Roman Wilson
Calvin
there.
Austin.
You got Calvin Austin.
Oh, yeah.
But Roman Wilson's been hurt. So, I mean, you know, outside of Pat Freiermuth, there's just not a lot of guys that are going to stretch the field. And my guy, George Pickens, is talented. And I think in literally one catch, he could get this line.
it's really not out of the realm.
I mean,
it's
true. I like it. I like it.
I think he is going to easily eclipse us this week.
Did you say who are they playing?
Chargers.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah. At home, too. So you get the home field advantage. Mm.
Juicy.
I don't think the Chargers secondary is all that great outside of Derwin James. Mm-hmm. So I think it's vulnerable. And I like it.
All right. I'll take that. Let's plus 60 it. Yards. Let's ride. So, dude, as soon as Roma, when Roma Dunze scores his touchdown, I'm going to send the
first
fattest
drive.
All caps guarantee to the group chat you've ever seen.
First drive.
Guarantee. Yeah. Boom. So you take all of those into account. You were looking at plus 2093 odds, baby. 10 to win $209, brother.
Who doesn't have a tenner to throw on it?
Dude, I know we let you down last week, but we are here to double down. Double or nothing this week, man, with our This League guarantee. One more time for the folks at home. Adam Thielen, over 44.5 yards against the Raiders. Roma Dunze, anytime touchdown scorer against the Colts, and George Pickens, plus 60 receiving yards against the
Chargers.
We over here, and we guarantee it. Let's get in to the Week 3 preview. Nice! Some good matchups this week. Some good matchups in one particular one at the end that could have some long-term ramifications, and we will just dive right in, ladies and gentlemen. We are starting with a cross-divisional matchup. We have Aaron and Let Russ Microwave taking on Stretch and Walker. I hardly know it. Both teams know it, know her. Both teams coming into this one at 1-1. And I will say we are in the fourth quarter. The game's about to end between the Patriots and the Jets. Garrett Wilson has 5 catches, 33 yards, and a touchdown. Talk about freaking protecting his fantasy day. And that currently has Stretch with a basically
50-50
shot in this game. That's what we like to see after a Thursday night matchup. And I would honestly say the vibes around both of these teams aren't, like, great, I would say. But I would say, you know, don't fret too much. Stretch currently has the third most points scored in the league. Aaron has the fourth most points behind your boys right here, me and Tim. High five. That's right. So you guys are third and fourth. Congratulations. But I will say, just looking at this matchup on its face, the matchups on Stretch's side, get me going, baby. James Conner against the Lions, gimme that. Devontae Smith against the Saints, hell yeah. Garrett Wilson against the Patriots, that's not great, but he got a touchdown, so that's cool. Mike Evans against the Broncos, oh yeah. Devontae Adams against the Panthers, gimme that. I love these matchups on Stretch's side, and I'll just get it out of the way. That's why I am picking Stretch to win this game, because you look at the other side, and you have Aaron's kind of giving me Stretch vibes from a couple years ago, where it's like, I feel like he's increasingly starting to have to lean on his elite pieces to blow up and win games. And when you have Skylar Thompson with Tyreek Hill, and you have, Saquon against a tough Saints defense on the ground, especially, I don't love that. Dak Prescott at home against the Ravens could be high scoring, but we know both of those defenses, especially the Cowboys, I think they could come back and really make a statement after getting embarrassed by the Alvin Kamaras of the world. The only lineup decision on Stretch's side is, do we somehow get Zach Charbonnet into the lineup? You can maybe make an argument. He has a solid matchup against the Miami Dolphins, but I don't think you're sitting James Conner, who is currently the running back 8. I don't think you're sitting Josh Jacobs, who is currently the running back 24, but you saw him get over 30 carries last week, limited on Thursday, but he should be good to go at Tennessee. So if you don't count that, I'm not sure Stretch has any lineup decisions. He is officially starting Kyler Murray over Anthony Richardson, and I would do that even if both of them were lighting up the world. Kyler is at home against Detroit. I love the over-under on that game. I think it's upwards of 50. I think they're in the, maybe not the 50s. They're like high 40s, I think, that over-under of that game. So there probably will be points. For Aaron, we're rolling DeMarcus Robinson, baby.
It's ugly.
In the flex. I mean, do we hang out with Juwan Jennings instead? Your pickup on the week instead, maybe?
What was that? He's wide receiver 2.
What would you say, Tim?
I paid up a little bit. I thought more people would go after him, but
solid 26.
Woo! Lord. Juwan Jennings. He's a solid wide receiver, though.
He's not bad.
He's a solid wide receiver. But I already mentioned it earlier. Don't love Saquon against the Saints. Don't love J.K. Dobbins against Pittsburgh. And Tyreek Hill doesn't have a quarterback. So, Tim, on this one, I am going stretch. I don't even think he needs voodoo on this one. I think if he just doesn't use any magical powers, he should be able to get the job done.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree. I just think the Kyler Murray matchup and then a couple of others that you highlighted outweigh the negative matchups. For me, the J.K. Dobbins against Pitt, like, I don't see how that's he gets nasty. More than 7, 8, 9 points.
Yeah.
And then just, I don't know, Stephon Diggs, I'm not sold on as a top guy anymore, like, just scoring lots of points. So, dare I say the two flex spots are not my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron's going to be laughing in our face when DeMarcus Robinson puts up 35.
No kidding. Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
8 for 180 and a touchdown.
Aaron, how confident are we this week?
I'm not at all, but I'm going to take myself.
Okay. So you have some confidence. Some confidence. There.
I got to instill some confidence in my guys.
Fake until you make
like, somewhere.
I just feel like we're down. We're not in a great spot.
The boys are not having a good time.
I mean, I'm starting one-legged Dobbins. I just like, I don't know what happened, guys.
Melting you down.
I just woke up and my team just is like, nah.
All right. Well, that is two for
sure. But I'm going to take me. Okay. If I haven't already said, fight on.
Fight on. All right. That is two for stretch, one for Aaron, and that is being himself.
Does anybody want a quarterback?
You have five.
Are they any good?
One of them could be for a rebuild, maybe.
Anybody want a quarterback?
I'll give you Caleb Williams for $1.
All right. We'll let Aaron continue to melt over there. As we get into our next matchup, it is Tim and close but no Jamar coming to this one at 1-1, taking on a feisty Zach team. We saw it, third highest scorer last week. Breece Lightning also coming into this one at 1-1.
So there are some dudes on each side of this matchup.
Some dogs, man.
I've already shown Zach some love, even though, you know, he's supposed to be March nemesis. But I do love his trio of Rice, Hall, MHJ. We get the benefit of seeing Breece Hall already do his thing on Thursday Night Football. Came in with solid 18-point finish there. It hurts Zach that at the tight end spot, it didn't go his way with Hunter Henry keeping up the momentum. That might hurt a little bit, although, you know, LaPorta hasn't really done much either. So we'll see if he can come back and, you know, hopefully be the LaPorta of old in the past. Chris, you mentioned it, the Cowboys being in a bounce-back spot. I think CD has a big game. I really think so. Do, against the Ravens. Vibes there are not great.
I get a feeling for that, too.
0-2. Like, yeah. They're at home, under the big lights, in
game
Dallas.
Of the week, Fox, Tom Brady.
Yeah. I think CD comes out and shows again why he got paid the money he did.
Did you guys listen to Tom Brady, by the way? Was he good? I didn't get a chance to listen to him.
I listened to him against the Browns. And,
I think I've only caught like a couple sentences from him.
He was fine. I think it was like he just doesn't understand the timing yet of when to speak, and he had to have Kevin Burkhardt ask him a lot of questions, which is just kind of like...
And Jerome Ford, he made that cut into the end zone.
And it was just silent, and he'd be like, "So Tom, tell me."
So Tom. So
pulling it out.
Missing Greg Olsen.
Oh, man. Right. Greg Olsen was so good.
He was good.
Play the drum beat here.
This one?
All right. I'm declaring this is Jamar Chase's coming out party.
Ooh.
Love it.
This week, Jamar Chase.
What's the line?
Is putting up a 40 piece.
Woo!
He is going.
I saw Tim just kind of like
carve up
over there a little bit.
The Commanders. He's in a prime spot for it. This man did not play at all in the preseason. He was bumming on the sidelines because he wants his contract. Now he's pissed. Now he has some games under him. It's time to be Jamar Chase, and he will be because Joe Burrow is going to get him tutties.
They are who we thought they were.
He's going to have 10-plus receptions. He's going to have 100 yards, and he's going to have at least one touchdown, probably two. So that's my call. I'm calling my shot. Godwin, being a wide receiver too, is so clutch for Tim. It really is. Nice.
Who's Godwin? Who's that?
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
Prime time. What Tim thought was a borderline flex play every week this year has now became a stalwart in his lineup.
Cemented.
And he is in there for good. In that slot, he is looking sexy. And so
he plays
is
Denver.
And so is the Bucs offense, actually.
Hey, Surtain's going to lock down Mike That's Evans. Right. Godwin's going to be running free.
Baker has confidence where Bryce Young lacks it, you know? So that's where it is. I mean, that's the difference. You get into a spot where you are doing well and you have everybody backing you. Aaron Jones, X factor here, I think, in the flex. I like Aaron Jones this week and think he could make some noise. For Zach, you know, I think he could hang around. I really do. He's got some horses in his lineup. You know, we already talked about MHJ, but Brian Robinson on Monday Night Football could have a big game. CJ Stroud against Minnesota. I could see some high point totals there, but again, the flex, man. Javonte Williams, yeah. It's just a carousel, it feels like, of, you know, throwing things at it and see what sticks. And I don't like what he's throwing. So his flexes are ugly. I think that's a big enough reason for me to say that Tim wins this one, but I don't think it's a blowout by any means.
Yeah, I'm picking Tim too, simply because, like, when you look at Tim's side, like, Jordan Mason could go to the moon. CeeDee Lamb to the moon. Godwin, Chase. We've seen Aaron Jones do it. Like, these guys could blow up, right? And even if he has two of them, that really, really expands his upside. Versus Zach, like, and by the way, we just ended Thursday Night Football. Breece Hall finished with 17 points. Hunter Henry finished with 2. So as of this recording, Tim has a 61% chance of winning. But I will say, like, Marvin Harrison can go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else can, in my opinion. Like, even Rashi Rice, like, he hasn't shown a game where he's, like,
he's
demanding
a floor guy.
16 targets and two, yeah. 3 touchdowns.
He's, you know, safe, though. Yeah.
So Falcons' secondary is good, too. I don't think they're going to score a lot.
So I'm going Tim as well.
Copy paste. I don't think it's a blowout. I wouldn't be shocked if this one becomes, you know, the game of the week.
Think so.
You know, I think it has that type of upside. But yeah, I'm gonna take my guys in some plus matchups.
All right, there we go. That's a clean sweep for Tim, and we will move on to the next game. It is Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan taking on a feisty Clayton team. We got a couple feisty teams in here, which I like. We don't have a lot of bye weeks anymore, maybe except our next game, which we'll get into. But we have Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan at 1-1 taking on Clayton and the Red Rocket also at 1-1.
And man, this is a juicy week 3 matchup.
Isn't it?
We got both teams looking to stake a claim. You know, Clayton to, like, say, I am here. If he's 2-1.
I'm here. I'm here.
He's here, guys. If he's 2-1 and puts up another 120 point game.
That'd be wild.
Heads are turning. Hayden on the other side, you know, reeling a little bit. We talked about the injuries with Debo. We talked about Puka. Tua and the impact of Waddle with Tua being out, like, just a little shaky, you know, not down and out, but just like we got to see what's going to happen. What's the short term ramifications there? At the time of recording, pre Thursday Night Football and right now, Hayden's hovering around a 60% chance of victory.
Disrespectful.
Got a solid 16 points out of the New York Jets defense tonight, just feasting on that poor line with Jacoby Brissett and Drake Mayo. Tank Dell. Chris, I know you love Tank Dell.
I still love Tank Dell. Fun fact.
I know you love him.
Last week, I threw Jameson Williams for Tank Dell straight up, and he said no. I thought about doing it this week, but I kind of double took a little bit. I was like, man, if you were to send that to me, would I take it? I'm like,
man,
I don't know.
Man.
I don't know.
Yeah, Tank Dell, questions there.
My panic meter's a 10.
On Tank Dell?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Dang.
I just don't think he's going to get nearly the targets he needs to be effective like he was last year.
A 10?
Yeah, dude.
I asked the question. I was going with a 7. 7. I could lean 8. Like, I'm up there, but
I'm full-blown. 5. Full-blown panic.
A 5.
He's just so small.
He's very small.
That didn't stop him from getting like 15 targets a game when he was healthy last year.
Yeah, but
though.
Who else was there? Nico? Outside of Nico, but now
Dalton
you have
Schultz?
Now you have Stephon added into that mix, and he's going to demand targets. Joe Mixon's going to get more volume, and he's getting more passing targets.
I think Tank Dell could be the case of one of those where, like, okay, the NFL has never seen anything like this guy. From a body composition size standpoint, he comes in, has a good rookie year because nobody knows how to guard him or what he looks like, and then now he's got all this film out there.
That's exactly what I think.
I don't know that he's getting. I don't know that he's getting open as fast as Stroud would like to see, and I think people aren't underestimating him. I think maybe that was a little bit of that going on last year. So yeah, question marks for Hayden there. Clayton on the other side. We alluded to it earlier. I want to drop for this.
Yeah.
We got the double Decker.
That's a man.
Tight end stack.
That's like, a man's lineup.
Give me like that BK, like have it your way. Like, I need something like that for the double decker tight end stack.
Whopper, whopper.
Have it
whopper,
your way.
Whopper, triple whopper.
Double decker.
Tight double end decker, stacker. Triple stacker. Whopper, 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 whopper.
I need that now. I love that. Yes, we've got Trey McBride in there, dog. And we got Brock Bowers in their dog.
Whopper, whopper, whopper,
yes,
whopper,
that double decker,
double stacker, stacker, stacker. No, that's great.
Is going off. Love to see it. Good matchups there.
Double decker, tight end stacker.
That's got to be here to stay. That's got to be here to stay. I think everybody's mentioned it with all caps. I think I did last week. Nico.
Yeah, Nico.
Nico and the double decker tight end stacker, solid three-headed monster.
God, what a terrifying combo.
And Joe Burrow against the commies, the Commanders this week. I'm just saying, I Aaron just said Chase is getting 40. So Burrow's going to be up there. He's going to be 30, 40, 50. I'm rolling Clayton in here right now. It doesn't, you know, 40% chance of victory, but I'm going to take Clayton in the upside there with those guys.
You're taking Clayton in this one?
Absolutely.
Wow. Rocking. I still think Hayden has the best four running back starting combo in the league, personally. Jalen Waddle and Tank Dell aren't as sexy as they were before week one, but I'm looking at the other side and I still see Ty Chandler. Granted, that's really the only one that's bad. Singletary against Cleveland, you certainly don't love. But
Jaden Reed, you got to see, like, if Jordan Love does come back this week, like, I think Jaden Reed has the upside. But if it's still Malik Willis, then there's definite downside there.
God, you know what? I remember before the season began, I was like, Clayton, I'm going to be taking you a lot, but not this week. I'm taking Hayden. I'm sorry, Clayton.
Oh, man.
Next week is the week, man. Who do you play next week? Who are you picking, Clayton or Zach? Oh my God, Aaron.
Next.
Next week, who do I play?
Oh, Clayton plays me next week. Okay, that's not happening. Anyway, Aaron, who you got in this matchup?
Oh man, I'm teetering a little bit. I really am.
Don't teeter.
Because I had
teeter totter.
I had Hayden, but I'm flipping, man. I'm going
dog,
Clayton.
We're riding.
The boys
we're
are
riding,
going Clayton.
You know what? I'm looking up and down the lineup
because
here.
Joe Burrow, and then you got McBride with Detroit and Bowers with Carolina. Oh,
juicy.
My. Those are like,
those are nice.
Matchups on a silver platter. Yeah, man. For the vibes.
If there's no Jordan Love, we got to see Brian Thomas stay in the lineup.
Oh, absolutely.
Brian Thomas
has to get
in there over Jaden Reed.
Thank you for mentioning that, actually.
That's the one thing. I want to see that. I think that's just nothing but upside.
At Buffalo's tough, but still, I think you play him over.
Yeah, but I mean, L'Jarius Sneed, Tennessee. Like,
that's fair.
Yeah, Jaden Reed. I mean,
yep. No,
Tennessee's defense has been good, so.
Yeah, I agree. I think by a hair, I'm taking Clayton.
Let's ride.
I want to ride.
Come on. There's room
join,
on the
join,
ride.
Join
this
us.
This is a carousel. There are plenty of spots.
I
whopper, 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 whopper.
I'm riding, baby.
Let's go.
Oh.
Is that three for Clayton?
All right, let's ride.
Whopper, whopper, whopper.
I have it on the sheet. I put Clayton.
All love right. it.
I'm going Clayton as well. Let's do it. We're all riding Clayton. That's the title of the episode. We're all riding Clayton. All right. What a fun matchup. That'll be a fun one to watch. We will move on to the next matchup. It is Steven and Mount Passmore at 0-2, taking on Don and Njigba's in Paris at 0-2. Guys, can I press the button? Is this our first winner go home game?
Yes.
Can I do it? Can I do it?
I think it is.
We're declaring it the first winner go home game of the season is here. Aaron, take it away.
So this game's happening.
It is.
It is.
I mean, we just upped the ante a little bit.
And I'm calling this game, we're fighting for 90.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
Fighting for 90. It's a race to 90 for this one. Steven, we'll start with him, is deploying Carson Steele.
The secret weapon.
Shout out Center Grove alum, baby.
$80 in fab.
White running back taking over the league. This guy has a 4.8 40. Just like
oh no.
Are you serious?
Yeah, wow.
It's like 4.7 something.
Okay, so the fullback claims are probably correct.
Oh wow. Yeah, there he is not outrunning anybody. Oh,
that's man. Gonna win waiver wire move of the year.
But he is hard to take down. He is like Mike Allstott reincarnated. Except not as big. But anyway. Point proven.
That's impressive.
He's rolling him out. We'll see if that pays off. He doesn't have any other options. He also spent all that fab like you guys just mentioned.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert's banged up. Question for you guys. Is QB a bit of a concern now for Steven?
Not for Mount Passmore. Surely.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chargers just want to run the football. They ran the ball 35 times last game.
He's got Derek Carr.
Herbie was the top two quarterback in his second year in the league, and since then he was 11-17. And
my, how the turns tables!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's an interesting decision when you're Steven.
Do we start Derek Carr?
Do you start?
I would
honestly. Yeah.
Probably would too.
I would ride the hot hand,
especially at
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Philly's defense hasn't looked great. So
yeah, I would make that move if I were him, but we'll see if he does. Khalil Shakir and Jordan Addison in the flex, I don't love it. Don't love it. You guys already know my feelings about Jordan Addison.
Horrible human being. Enough, wouldn't let him around my daughters.
Enough said there. He's banged up.
Didn't Kadarius Toney get signed this week by somebody?
See the Browns.
Yeah, somebody's practice squad or something.
The
Browns.
That fits him. He's doo-doo, so.
It kind of does.
Yeah, make him wear brown. We already talked about him. Khalil Shakir. He's been the wide receiver one in Buffalo. So, it's a logical play for a flex spot, but don't love the name appeal there. Bears run D looks pretty stout. So that could be tough sledding for JT. Being a Colts fan, that hurts my heart a little bit.
Go Colts.
So we'll see. We'll see if he can overcome that. But not really much else to point out on Steven's end outside of that. For Don, I think he needs a big game out of A-Rod, and I think he got it. I think he got over 20 points.
25,
which is solid.
Yeah.
So I think, things are looking up on the QB front there. That's been a bit of a struggle for him. I think Chris Olave's in store for a big game, in my opinion.
Disagree.
Other people
he trash
on the team have had their time to shine. I'm a believer in Olave. I think he comes out and gets 20 plus points this week.
I will bet money on that he will not.
I'm just doing it for the vibes, man.
trying to get the vibes.
I'm trying to get the vibes going.
I was all with you on CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase. I was there. Chris Olave,
not in the same tier.
I'm not saying he's gonna go nuclear, but I could see over 20. I really can. JSN, Ayuk, I think could both be good plays this week. JSN, coming off that game against the Patriots where he was just getting targeted like crazy. And, Ayuk's like one of the only guys left that's not injured. So you got to think eventually he could come on. Tyler Kraft and Alexander Madison.
He dropped Luke Musgrave this week. Tyler Kraft trash. The guy over Luke Musgrave?
I think he is.
Oh, no.
But they're both bleh. They both suck.
Tucker Kraft. Tyler?
Excuse me, I was saying Tyler.
They might both combine for zero, so we'll see. But, the rest of the lineup for Don up and down, I think, looks okay, compared to Steven. I mean, he's got at least some names out there that you like. Tony Pollard going up against Green Bay, and Xavier Worthy. I mean, you know, if he gets loose for a tutty, that could really help him. So out of necessity of having to choose a winner, I'm going to take Don.
I'm taking Don, and I like Don in this one. Not just like eking him out. I like Don.
Yeah.
For me, it's Ayuk against the Rams, who are a reeling franchise with no Debo. Kittle looking maybe doubtful now. No CMC. He's like, they just paid him a bunch of money. He's getting 15 targets this week. And I love Tony Pollard against Green Bay's defense. Tajay Spears, I think, is limited practice this week. So he's probably out there. Mm-hmm. But Pollard's still going to see the bulk of the carries there. Those two matchups, I love it. I'm taking Don.
Can I put like a really dumb, complicated like condition on my pick? Like
maybe.
So like if T. Higgins and George Kittle both play, can I pick Steven?
Sure.
And then finish the Excel formula. If this, then what?
If but not. if one of them don't play, I'm going to take Don.
Okay, so just one. They both have to play.
Yes.
All right, got it.
Yes. I'll take Steven, because I think if Carson Steele is going to have 1 week, it's going to be this one. At Atlanta, solid matchup. Yeah, I can see him like running for two touchdowns, and then Kareem Hunt comes in and steals all the work next week. So I'm going to go with Steven, assuming that he can field a healthy lineup is my goal. So two picks for Don, one pick for Steven in the first win or go home matchup of the year. We will move on to our final preview of the week, which means it is your game of the week. Tim, take it away.
In your game of the week, week three of the fantasy football season, we have, I'm going to try to do like WWE for you guys, because this is like what you're into. Rhea Reigns. Is that her name, Rhea? Is it not Rain? No? I tried, guys.
Dude, I have no idea what you just said.
Isn't that the girl you guys like?
Rhea? You got the first name right. It's Ripley. You're thinking of Roman Reigns.
Hey, there we go. You know what? In one corner.
They'd have beautiful children.
In one corner. We have my choice for the nut. Chris trying to continue his blazing hot start as the top scorer in weeks one and two. Looking to go 3-0. Anthony, we're talking about trying not to reel and go 1-2. And we have some juicy matchups. And at the time of notes, this was a 50-50 matchup.
50-50.
According to Sleeper. Since then, we have seen Ramondre. Today, it's just Ramondre. Score solid negative 0.7 points.
Yikes. Oh, big yikes.
Good. Good.
I just noticed that.
I did too earlier. That's, I was like, oh, he humbled.
Yeah, good start for the week for Anthony. Justin Jefferson out there. You're not worried about Derek Stingley or anybody in Houston. That man's going to get his points. Sam Darnold is a top five quarterback. He is elite out there. But very quickly, man, I'm more doom and gloom on Anthony's than most just about anybody else in this league.
Yeah.
Going to the concerned corner, we've touched on it. Travis Kelce.
An 8.
It's got to be at least a 6. I'm at least a 6.
I'm probably an 8, yeah.
Amari Cooper?
7.
He's still getting targeted. 6.
Yeah, I'd say that's got to be at least a 5. I mean, he's getting targets. He's had a couple of big drops, but like the connection's just not there.
Kelsey's not even getting targeted is my point.
Right.
Cooper has 17 targets through 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the wide receiver 83.
Yep. Ooh. Not great. Not great, Chief.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he's a solid wide receiver.
Plus matchup. If they can't get it.
Wide receiver 8?
If they don't get it going against the Giants, then I think you're leaping up to like an 8, 9, 10 on the panic meter. Rashad White, like he traded for Rashad White last year and it basically propelled him to
a championship. Yeah, sucks, dude. He sucks.
He's so inefficient.
Bucky Irving's going to have the job.
Rashad White is not good.
I'll place that bet right now.
And so, like, I don't know. I'm just worried there about he's going to get his volume, but I don't know. I'm very concerned for Anthony's team right now. Chris, I think your lineup currently sets itself.
Whee!
You're not starting DeAndre Swift while he's looking like, what's his nickname now?
Najee Swift.
Najee Swift.
Like that. Jerome Ford getting touches vultured by D'Onta Foreman.
Yeah, it's
annoying. You're not playing that game. The biggest argument you could make would be Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore, but they're not cracking this lineup the way you got it going on. And we've got plus matchups across the board. Josh Allen, Dalton Kincaid. Look to see that stack go off. I mean, last week against the Dolphins, they were just crushing them so hard, so neither of them really had to put up points. And then Kincaid, he got like whacked in the head and kind of missed some time there, yeah. But like, yeah. I think he's a full go for this week. Alvin Kamara against a Philly defense that just, you know, got pretty beat up by Bijan. Jameson Williams and Malik Nabers, welcome to the squad.
For real. Yeah, that's...
Wide receiver one, wide receiver two in the lineup. Both with plus matchups, according to Sleeper. I mean, we'll see. Nabers against Cleveland, like, slightly worries me, but he's getting 10 targets, yeah, at so. Least. So I think that man's going to volume... Could have been on Steven's team, but, you know, neither here nor there. I think I'm going to say that every single time I say Malik Nabers this year.
Good.
But look at the flex. Devon Achane and James Cook, like the guys
from Aaron's last best week. Friends.
Oh, man.
I hated that, dude.
Say
in the
less.
Same game as well.
Say less. Devon Achane, my going to be elite or Kermit the Frog. I'm taking Chris here. 3-0. I'll see you at the championship.
I will say, like, I'm kind of cheating here. The only guy outside of, like, Justin Jefferson on Anthony's team that kind of made me nervous was Ramondre Stevenson, and the fact that he got negative 0.7 points.
Ramondre. I'm going to go with Chris. I mean, this guy is going to just annihilate Anthony. I mean,
no.
It's just going to be a bloodbath.
Hey, Anthony, remember you won it all last year. You got that going for you.
That's right. And you got Christian McCaffrey coming back.
Maybe.
The biggest thing I can say is, like, Anthony, you can look forward to playing me next week. Just, like, don't even look this week. Like,
you guys play each other next week?
Yeah.
Can you guys, like, hate each other? Because you guys would have, I've said it before, like, the best mm-hmm. rivalry in the league.
He's such a nice guy.
But
he's
but,
so nice. Yeah, and I'm that. So nice to him. So
he is nice. I will say, if Stretz beats you... and I beat Anthony, and you guys both go into that game at 1-2.
That's a big time game. That's a
ooh,
big
it's like a big time game, but flipped on its head. Like usually, you guys are fighting for the top spot. Then it's like,
yeah, it feels weird.
I'm not used to being
gotta survive
middle of the pack.
It's a war of attrition. You saw it with the injuries, and now you're seeing it with the squads in this league, ladies and gentlemen. That was your week 3. Preview. Let us know your thoughts, your predictions, and we will get out of here. Nice! This league _ pod, Instagram and Twitter is where you can reach out to us. As always, if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if you want to leave us 5 stars, if you want to comment on us, tell us how good of a job we're doing or not, you could do that too. Or the maybe the easiest things you could do is what Ja'Marr Chase is going to do to that Commies secondary this week. He's going to dance all over him. He's going to juke on him. He's going to crush him. He's going to moss him. Just do whatever you want to that
just
like button.
Just Rhea Ripley it. You know, fake like you got a really bad shoulder injury. Rhea Ripley, nice. And then just demolish. Just get in there and crush people.
Sounds like we have a really big Rhea Ripley fan here.
I almost got the name right.
There you go. That's right.
Click it.
Or you could just quack, click quack. It. You could just click it. Anything else, guys, before we sign out? First in-person pod in a while. Vibes were immaculate.
Feels
vibes
great.
Are immaculate.
I loved it. And we got Clover on the chair. Whenever I was barking at Ramondre Stevenson's name, she got a little little testy.
Yeah, she's out here. Cold. She's usually asleep by like 8 o'clock.
Nice. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'll sign off with Clayton's theme song yes. for his team now. I'm Chris, signing off. Love you guys.
Peace.
Go on, get.
Lettuce, mayo, pickle, ketchup. It's okay if I don't want that impossible or bacon whopper, any whopper my way. You rule your season today and BK have it your way.
You rule! Bars.
That was
the extended version. Yeah. Dude, he was spitting. That was awesome. All right. Mic check 1, 2. Mic check 1, 2. Chris, you're freaking loud. Calm it down a little bit. Mic check 1, 2. Mic check 1, 2. Tim, hit me.
We bleed blue. This is our Colts. This is our team. We love them.
For the shoe. Beat the Packers. Bears. Beat the Bears.
We're going to
claw them and
rip their guts out.
This is our cult.
I think we can guess what they're. I love the cut every time. He does like 50 nays into the camera, and then he's like, the best one.
All right, Aaron, hit me. This is our cult. This is our team. We love them. I'm being pretty loud. I wouldn't actually speak at that volume. Sorry.
Well, let me know because I'm trying to get your sound right.
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome to Chili's. Chili's commercial is on right now. That's actually hilarious. That burger actually does.
Normally.
I am talking normal. That Chili's burger actually looks really good.
Not gonna lie.
Those chips and salsa. Solid.
I feel that. Tim, one more time, please.
We love them.